Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Welcome to God's house. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone gathered here today. We thank you for this message, Father, that we pray will enter our hearts and change us, Father, from the inside. It will deliver us from the things we're struggling with, knowing that you have great plans for us, that you have gone to prepare a place for us, and that you have a job for each of us in your kingdom, Father God, the kingdom that is here now and the kingdom that is to come. So we give you all the praise and glory this morning. I ask that you bless this message and bless those who couldn't be here today as well, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Sermon title is Acting Like Mere Humans. That's a part of one of the verses in the scripture, but, you know, it's something that speaks to, you know, just people slipping and backsliding a little bit in their lives. And, you know, none of us will be perfect until we're with the Lord. Amen? So every once in a while, we act like mere humans, okay? The story is told that John Wesley, this guy right here, founder of Methodism, of the Methodist Church, he changed his view about church division after a dream he had in which he was first transported to the gates of hell. He asked them when he got there, he said, "Are there any Presbyterians here?" And they said, "Yes." And then he said, "Are there any Roman Catholics here?" And they said, "Yes." Then he said, "Are there any Lutherans in here?" He said, "Yes." Then he hesitated, and he said, "Not any Methodists, I hope." To his dismay, the answer was, "Yes, there are Methodists here." Suddenly, in his dream, he stood at the gates of heaven. Once again, he asked, "Are there any Presbyterians here?" And they said, "No." He said, "Any Roman Catholics here?" "No." "Are there any Lutherans here?" He said, "No." Then he asked the question which most interested him, "Are there any Methodists here?" He was shocked to receive the same stern reply of no. "Well then," he asked in surprise, "please tell me who is in heaven." "Christians," was the jubilant answer. "Christians are in heaven." Amen? Ain't that the truth, right? So from that dream, Wesley determined that unity was essential to the church and to the church's mission. What are we to think of division today? Amen? Some today agree with Wesley. They say division is one of our greatest sins. We should all be together. Amen? We must unify at any cost. Others believe any effort towards unity involves compromise. Amen? Therefore, we must avoid it because we can't compromise our faith. Jesus himself prayed for unity. Amen? He prayed for unity, and he preached that we must, but he also preached that we must leave our father and our mother for his sake, for the sake of the gospel. Amen? So what is it? Shall we divide? Amen? You see, while there's unity in the body of Christ, discernment is a necessary component for the kingdom of God. We must be able to discern who's part of the body and who's not. Last week, the premise of the message was that a person without the Spirit cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. We must first welcome the Spirit of Christ, amen? Because there's only one way to the Father, right? Through Christ. But we also mentioned that the person with the Spirit is not subject to judgment by mere humans as well. Because you see, as believers, we're not of this world. Amen? We're not of this world, and our eternity lies in heaven with God. Now, in today's text, Paul's going to speak to us about a different kind of man, okay? He's going to speak to us about a worldly man. Those who are more infants in Christ, if you will. You could say those with one foot in the world and one foot out. Our first verse, Paul says, Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. You see, here Paul is, he's talking to believers, okay? He's talking to Corinthian believers. But these are believers who are either struggling, like he said, or they're infants in Christ. Amen? Maybe they're new believers. Maybe they just haven't been taught the word well enough yet. I think that's something that we can all relate to at some point in our faith walk. Amen? But what does he mean exactly when he says worldly? What does he mean by worldly? Now, living in the flesh or fleshly living has the same meaning, okay, as living worldly, okay? Some even say that if you're a worldly or a fleshly living person, you can't be a Christian if you're living in the world. But Paul says here in the first few verses that these Corinthians are his brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? And he also says that they're infants in Christ, right? That they're still worldly. The problem was that these Christians, they were backsliding, okay? They were backsliding, something we can understand a lot more today, amen? They were falling prey to the flesh. It happens. In fact, it happens to the best of us, amen? Charles Spurgeon said, only when we get to heaven are we out of the gunshot of the devil, amen? Until then, we are still in the flesh, and we still got to fight and make that decision every day of our lives. Now, these worldly Christians were only part-time backsliders, okay? If they were full-time backsliders, then they wouldn't be called Christians, okay? Part-time backsliders. And so Paul wasn't saying that they were completely dominated by the flesh, but they certainly weren't saints at the time, right? But if there was no evidence of salvation in them, then he wouldn't be calling them Christians. In fact, I think he'd probably be preaching the gospel to them again. Amen? Giving them the milk that they needed, right? Paul's writing to his audience, okay? Here's a picture of him. That's my favorite picture of him studying and writing there. Paul's writing to his audience, and he knows who his audience is, okay? For the most part, Corinth was struggling with sin. They were struggling, but Paul knew what they needed to hear. They needed to hear the truth. I read the story of a young boy who lived on a farm in the mountains. The grandparents, the parents, his brothers and sisters, they all lived in this farmhouse. And every time the young boy got a chance, he would tell anyone that would listen that he wanted a watch, like that one right there, pocket watch. His grandfather had a pocket watch. So did his dad. The older boys in the family, they all had a pocket watch. The young boy would tell anyone who would listen that he wanted a pocket watch. They told him, he said, you can't even tell time. Why do you want a pocket watch? Right? When his mom woke him up, first thing he did was ask for a pocket watch. At the breakfast table, when he was being served breakfast, he'd ask for a pocket watch. When the dad went out to the barn, the boy would ask for a pocket watch. All day long, every day, the boy pestered everyone about how bad he wanted his own pocket watch. The mom and the dad said he was like a broken record, right? Over and over again. All he wanted was a pocket watch. They explained he could not tell time. Why would he need a pocket watch? One day, the father came in from working in the fields, and the boy met him at the door. And what did he do? He begged his father for a pocket watch. The dad raised his voice and he yelled. He said, we've heard enough about the watch. You're not old enough to take care of a pocket watch. You can't even tell time. I better never hear again that you want a pocket watch. You'll get a whipping if you mention watch again. Right? So after supper, the family gathered around the pot-bellied stove, and they shared Bible verses together, as they usually did. The grandpa shared a verse, the dad shared a verse, and soon it was the young boy's turn to quote his verse. So the boy stepped to the center of the room, and he put his shoulders back, and he boldly stated, my verse today is Mark 13:37. Mark 13:37 says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Amen? Oh, she put it up there. Okay. You see, the young boy, he quietly sat down in front of the stove, but, you know, the story ended there. And I don't know if he got the watch or the whipping. He got one or the other, right? But whether he was ready or not, he would boldly proclaim, watch. Amen? The young boy wasn't ready. Heck, he didn't even know what time it was, right? Just like a lot of these brothers and sisters in Corinth, they weren't ready for the meat of the gospel. And, or at least they thought they were, but they weren't. Amen? And verse 2, Paul goes on, he says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? In verse 2, Paul says, I gave you milk. Paul had to keep teaching the Corinthians the basics, even though they believed that they were ready for the meat. He continued to give them the milk. They weren't so shallow. They were so shallow in the basics of the gospel that they couldn't understand the meat of salvation. The problem wasn't that Paul wouldn't deliver God's message. The problem was they were not ready to receive the message. I think we see a lot of this today in the church. People fill in the seats and punch in their ticket. But because they don't strive to fully live in God's will, and I'm going to speak to a few people here today, or even listen to Christian worship music, they're not ready for the gospel message. Those three songs that we sing as a church before each message, they're meant to prepare your hearts for God's word. That's not to say that you can't receive it without it. Amen? But it's way more powerful when your heart is prepared by the music and you're into it and you're singing it and you know the words and you're fully in the Spirit of God. It's way more powerful. John Piper said, music is a powerful instrument of God to draw people closer to His word and the saving riches therein. Christian music is a very important part of the Christian life. Give it a shot, amen? So he was talking about the Gospels. You see, the real problem was the Corinthians were attracted to spiritual junk food, or even worldly junk food, if you will. They wanted to hear man's wisdom, not God's wisdom. The Corinthians were so full of the worldly things in their lives that they were unable to receive the meat or the spirit of God's word. You know, the hardest part of preparing a message, at least for me, is preparing it in a way where I can reach everyone in the congregation. That means the milk drinkers, right? And the meat eaters. And I'm sure Paul was trying to do the same thing. Amen? Because you never know when the message is going to speak directly to you. I think I've had just about everybody in the church, at least the ones that have been here a long time, come up to me and say, Pastor, thank you. That message spoke directly to me today. Amen? I think we all feel that. You might not have come up and told me that, but I think we all feel that from time to time. Amen? A lot of times, that things like that is what gets you started on the meat of God's word. And it stops you from acting like mere humans and more like the Christians that you were created to be. And there will also be times when those worldly Christians, they'll come to a place where the word's being preached or being taught, and some of them will hear the truth, but they don't want to receive it. They can hear it, they can understand it, but they don't want to receive it. Sometimes that truth even hurts because it reminds us of how far away from God we really are in our lives. In fact, some will even make a conscious decision to choose the world, and they'll get up and they'll walk out of the church. That's the last thing we want. Amen? That's the last thing we want. And that's just not good for a believer, okay? He goes on, verses 3 and 4, he goes on to say that since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are worldly. The Christians thought they were so spiritual, okay, these Corinthians, but the truth is that the divisions between them made them extremely worldly. Divisions in the church aren't the only signs, though, of being worldly, okay? There are many more reasons today to say that someone is in the world, but for the Corinthians at this time, that was the most evident. They were divided. Amen? They were divided. The Corinthians would walk around like they were spiritually superior to everybody. They knew it all. Amen? But the truth is, they were dishonest, and they were sinners, and they were at odds with each other and many other believers. When people have problems between each other and the kingdom, often it proves that they're at odds with God Himself. Amen? Beware of people who jump from church to church to church and cause divisions everywhere they serve and everywhere they attend. Those who talk about all the persecution they received from other Christians. I'm not saying to write them off, amen? We love all people to Christ, right? Amen? I'm not saying to write them off. I'm just saying beware, okay? Beware, because if someone has a problem getting along with Christians everywhere they go, but act like they can walk on water, there's a problem. Amen? There's a problem. Paul says that if you're not getting along with the body of Christ, maybe there's something wrong with your relationship with the Lord. Amen? And then at the end of verse 3, he says, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Paul was not saying that they were mere humans. He said they were acting like mere humans. Paul was saying, you are born again, you are a new creation, and God expects more from you. Amen? As a non-believing, more than a non-believing sinner. Amen? He expects a lot more out of us because we're no longer mere humans. We're children of God. Amen? Children of God. You see, spiritual people are called to walk in the Spirit, right? If you live your life any other way, then you're acting worldly, okay? And God doesn't want that. In fact, none of your brothers and sisters in Christ want that for you. Living in the ways of the world are no longer an option if you are living in Christ. Amen? Don't let that be an option for you. He would then say, well, one of you follows Paul and another follows Apollos. Are you not mere human beings for that? My friends, that's what we call idolatry, right? Just like the practice of almost every religion on earth. They were worshiping somebody other than God. But one name is all we have to say. What's that name?
Jesus,
right? Amen? He goes on in verse 5, he says, what after all, here it is, what is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through who you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Paul said, me and Apollos are nothing, especially nothing to worship. Amen? He didn't want them worshiping anybody but God. He said, I got a job to plant, and Apollos has a job to water. As Christians, we all have different spiritual gifts and jobs to offer in the kingdom. Amen? But God is the one who gives the increase. Okay? God is the one who gives the increase. You see, there's going to be many great men who plant churches like Paul did. And there's going to be many who build churches like Apollos. But Paul was saying, don't follow the church planter. Don't follow the waterer. Don't follow your favorite preacher. Don't follow your favorite worship team. Follow Christ. Amen? Follow Christ. He's saying you need to follow Jesus and the truth of God's word because it's the truth of God's word that'll make the church grow. That's what truly makes the church grow. It's not the the person giving the message. It's the message itself. Amen? And who is the church? We are the church, right? We're all the church. That's one of those one out of nine times out of ten, the answer is Jesus. That's the one that's not, the answer is not Jesus. We're the church. But he is too, because he's the head of the church, right? Amen? As servants in God's church, we will all have a job to do. God's got a job for all of us. Amen? And sometimes we get frustrated because we want to be the one doing the watering, but God wants us to do something else. Right? But remember, being a servant of God is a calling. Amen? It's a calling, and none of those jobs that God has for us should be insignificant. From the smallest little job to the biggest whoever, evangelist or whatever that big job is. Amen? They are all important. Every job is important, but all the praise and glory goes to God. It goes to the Lord. Amen? Because he's the only one that can make it grow. All of us, we're just vessels that God uses for his good. And in the end, it's a labor of love. We say that all the time, right? It's a labor of love, and the only reward we need was given over 2,000 years ago on Calvary, right? That's the only reward that we need, or that we should even want. Amen? Salvation. He goes on in verse 8, he says, "The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service." You are God's field, God's building. He was saying that he who plants and he who waters are one and the same. All the Corinthians wanted to divide their leaders, right? They wanted to divide the leaders. They wanted to make idols out of them. But the crazy part was that the leaders themselves that they were worshiping, they were working together. They loved each other as the body of Christ should. Amen? They knew better than to worship anyone but God. Now, even though they worked together and they loved each other, Paul would say that they would be rewarded individually according to their own labor, right? Anybody who works in the ministry of the church knows that we all have to be on the same team, right? We all got to be on the same team. But at the same time, we all have our own personal relationship and commitment to God, all right? And to the church. So don't be worldly, okay? Don't be worldly. Be godly. Stop acting like mere humans, because we were created to be in Christ. Amen? We were created to be a part of this body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Amen? Speaking to us. If you're in Christ, guess what? You're a new creation. Amen? You have been renewed and restored, redeemed, and hopefully delivered. Amen? And it's something that we do every day. So find your place, okay? Find your place in God's kingdom here on earth, and believe me, he will save a place for you in his kingdom in heaven. Amen? Serve him today. Serve him now. This is amazing grace. Amen? That is amazing grace. So let's give God all the glory, all the praise, and all the applause he deserves. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this reminder that we only worship one, and that is you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to serve you and the church, and the reminder that nothing we do is insignificant when we do it for you. Father, we love you, Lord, and we pray that we can all just learn to work together in your kingdom, to be stronger in your name, to be stronger together as the body of Christ, to help those who are struggling, but mostly, Lord, to act in love in everything we do. To act in love as you act, the way when you love us, when you love each of us as your creation. So, Father, we give this day to you. In fact, we give every day to you, and we thank you for going before us In Jesus' name we pray.